On Hacker News a few weeks back, Kyle Zapatel posted about his new product called Portal Spaces, which is designed to help teams meet and collaborate in virtual reality. Since I have a VR headset and I use it to game all the time, I had to find out what this is all about. So today on Building Remote Teams, we'll learn about the future of meeting and collaborating in VR and see what's coming. Stay tuned. As you know, Building Remote Teams is a brand new podcast. And to celebrate our launch, we have some really awesome discounts to give you from some of our favorite tools for remote teams. We have discount tools for 1Password, Donut, Hey Taco, Carrot, BirthdayBot, KarmaBot, and a ton more. All you need to do is to go to buildingremoteteams.com and subscribe with your email. You'll get a link to the page with all of the recommended tools and discounts that I mentioned above. Now, on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Building Remote Teams. I'm here with Kyle Zapatel from Portal Spaces. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jevin?
Doing well, now that you're here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. I'm really happy to be here. Excited to talk about the future.
Cool. So I found you. I read Hacker News only, like the Hacker newsletter at the end of the week. Otherwise, I just find it too overwhelming and addicting to read it every day. But I saw it and I saw the Portal Spaces thing. And when I was reading kind of a bit about your story, it said, I started Portal Spaces because one of the worst parts of working from home for me was always the collaborating element. Can you tell us a little bit about what your situation was working from home and what the problems were and then what Portal Spaces is?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I worked at Microsoft for a period of time. And during my time at Microsoft, something that's really nice about working there is you have the freedom to work from home mostly whenever you want to. And while I was working there, I would occasionally work from home, whether it be taking care of my dog or, you know, maybe I had to stay at home to wait for something to arrive. And while I worked at home, we'd all communicate over, we generally use Teams for Microsoft. I don't know if any of you know what that is, because Slack has taken over the world. But we would use
it. Sounds brutal. It sounds
yeah. Brutal. it actually, you know, they're doing a good job of doing some Slack knockoffs. All right. Sorry, Microsoft. Anyway, so we would use this communication tool to try to essentially keep each other from blocking each other. You know, so say I'm working on one tool and I really need one of my colleagues to finish up some other piece of the code. You know, I would have to try to communicate that over Teams, and essentially try to keep us from running into each other and stepping on our feet and making sure that our team continues moving smoothly. Now, when I worked from home, I didn't like that dimension of it. The communication that happened within the office wasn't the same communication that happened on Slack. And that wasn't too frequently. So I did talk about my experience, but that wasn't all the time. You know, I wasn't working from home all the time. I was outside Redmond. And so I would go to the office. Now, with other teams, one of my colleagues' teams, actually, half of her team was in San Francisco. And so they had this workflow 24/7 of trying to communicate over Teams, trying to schedule, trying to make sure they don't step on each other's feet, and trying to keep everything smooth. And now they would also use tools like Zoom to try to discuss things every now and then. But the whole point with Portal Spaces was, you know, at the end of the day, these teams have to fly out to each other and visit each other and work collaboratively at least once a month is how often they do it. And so why can't we eliminate that and give you a virtual space? And you could even have that feeling of collaborating, clearing up, you know, how we're going to go about a project, planning it out clearly in a virtual space rather than in this physical space. And then even in the virtual space, you could do it way more frequently, right? Rather than flying out once a month, you could meet in a virtual space basically whenever you feel you need to discuss with a peer how to build something.
Totally. Now, most companies these days, and as you said, companies are using Zoom or Google Meet or whatever. So how does this idea of meeting each other in virtual reality compared to just having a video chat where you're seeing their, you know, their right. actual face in front of you?
Yeah. So I had the first question. That was the first thing that came to my mind when I started thinking about this idea. And what I found was people yearn to essentially be in the same room as each other for some things that are very pragmatic. That is, you have the third dimension. and you're able to point to the whiteboard, physically point to it and say like, hey, like check this out. And then somebody can physically draw on it and change whatever you'd like to change. And then there's the less pragmatic, more human dimension of it. And that is togetherness, basically building trust. And so there's actually been a lot of research done. I used to go to the University of Michigan, and they've actually done a ton of research on this about how when people collaborate, one of the most essential parts of being together is, has to do with building trust with your teammates. And so if you don't have that trust built, you don't collaborate as effectively, and you can't, you know, accomplish tasks as smoothly. And so those two dimensions are very important. I think the trust part of it is completely undervalued, whereas most people I'd say who are driven to my website are looking at the pragmatic use case of we can all work on a whiteboard together and we can all plan out our day together, but they're missing that point of, hey, maybe we can bring this feeling of togetherness by putting people in a virtual space together.
Nice. But I mean, there is that element. I mean, that could be said, or maybe people might be wondering, be like, well, videos, you can do that. And there's like these online real-time boards that people can collaborate.
Right.
So what is it about VR that brings the extra whatever it is? Or does it? Or is it more fun?
Yeah.
Or what is that element that you're kind of thinking is going to really come to the table by having people meet in VR?
Yeah. So kind of like I was saying before, the third dimension, I think that's super essential to bringing out the trust. And part of the reason I bring that up is because they actually, when they did the research at the University of Michigan, and I wish I could get you a link of this, so I'll do some research into it. But the way they went about it was they were comparing video chat to just collaborating in a common space together. And that's how they came about with the idea of trust being so central and core to people collaborating effectively, is because people built a lot more trust when they're together. And so the idea within virtual reality is like, we want that feeling of people being together that you can't quite get when you're on a 2D screen. And that's the more, again, the less pragmatic, more human element of this. And from the pragmatic stance, if you have a screen, I got to talk to somebody about this actually. If you just have one screen and you're trying to, I'm sure you've maybe been through a similar experience, one screen, you're trying to look at the audience, but then you're also trying to present something and you're also trying to work on this whiteboard. Maybe you're trying to draw on it, but maybe you have speaker notes. And so you're trying to do all these elements, unless you have like 3 to 5 screens going, it's actually a really difficult task to accomplish the presentation part, the true collaboration part. So while you and I could maybe work together on a collaborative whiteboard and hear each other talking, we still can't accomplish the, I'm going to present this to you, I'm going to point to things, I'm going to gesture to things. And I really, truly believe that that's extremely undervalued. When we look more pragmatically at the solution as a space in which we accomplish meetings.
I love it. Now, I don't want to sound like a skeptic here, because I am a VR believer. I have an Oculus Rift. Kyle and I, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I play a couple hours every week. It is extremely immersive. There are some games that are particularly good. That said, my favorite game is Paintball in Rec Room, which is a
like
a cartoony game.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I'm actually, I'm a huge fan too. Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, that's probably very similar in some ways to Portal Spaces, just how you can develop relationships and hang out with people in a very fun and creative way.
Well, I think that actually I think that brings up a great point.
No,
people look at games and they don't ask why games should be more immersive. You know, it's just accepted that that would be a better thing. But people don't ask, they don't take a moment to think about, you know, maybe meetings being more immersive, having people push to be into a meeting, you know, sitting there without scrolling back and forth between their email, between whatever social media channels they're into. You know, I think there's a lot of value there that's completely undervalued. Immersion is so important. And that's why we as humans can accomplish so much. And I think that is important to meetings. So, you know, thinking about how like a first person shooter on, you know, an Xbox on a flat screen is nice. But once you play that first person shooter in virtual reality, it's incredible. I mean, it's a totally different experience. So I think there's a kind of a kinness to those two ideas.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. And to our listeners, if you haven't tried VR just in general, should definitely try it. It is one of those, it's still in this magical stage, I think, where if you haven't tried it, it's just mind blowing.
Hell yeah.
How, you know, can you tell us some stories of people who are have tried Portal Spaces or are using it kind of in their daily workflow, mm-hmm. whether Portal Spaces or VR in general for meetings or in other places in remote work?
Yeah. So this is where, you know, and Jevin and I talked a little bit about this. This is where my frankness is going to come in. So I've had people use it and I've had people sign up for our software in our monthly subscription. Very excited about using it. But one of the issues we've come into as a company is that people come back to us saying, hey, this is really cool. We think if you had XYZ feature, we could get some use out of it. So frankly, they're saying, you know, your MVP, we don't get use out of. And to me, you know, I hear, oh, like, sure, you want XYZ feature, but at the end of the day, you don't like the core product, which is meeting in virtual
right.
reality.
It's for a smokescreen. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so, and I'm sure entrepreneurs listening to this have encountered that all the time. And as somebody who's just building something he's passionate about, I wanted to say like, okay, I'm just going to start building these features, you know, then people will like it. But upon a more frank assessment, I decided that that was a real awakening call that, hey, maybe right now people aren't ready for this. Maybe this concept isn't there. Maybe the technology isn't there. One thing we've encountered is that people don't have virtual reality headsets. So a free trial really means nothing because you still have to go out and buy a $200 headset at the very least to be able to use our software. And so we're reckoning with that and we're trying to figure out ways that maybe we can make virtual reality, augmented reality software that could be used today with people's phones, with what they have in their pocket and what they use every day. And so that's it's always been one of our core themes, and it comes back and keeps hitting us in the face. You need to make this product accessible. You need to make it easy to use and also easy to just download and try out.
Cool. Do you have, what about more generally for using VR for meetings? Have you heard stories or seen stuff out there about how people are using it today?
Yeah. So I think one of the killer apps of VR, and I've actually gotten to experience this with an architect, is architecture. Having your plans come to life within virtual reality, touring a home that a prospective maybe buyer or somebody who wants to create a home, build their next home, having an architect be able to throw on a VR headset, meet with those people, first of all, remotely, second of all, in their new home is absolutely incredible. And so I think the core theme of that is we want to have a meeting remotely, but there's also this other part of it where we will benefit from having a 3D space in that there's a 3D object that we're kind of using, manipulating, collaborating on. So another great use case is, I think it's called SketchUp. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, SketchUp. I use it all the time. Interestingly, yeah. We're building a sunroom in the back and my architect did it up in SketchUp.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So absolutely, like, you can create incredible experiences. And I think that's where the meetings are effective right now, today. In the future, I think we have the chance for them to be effective when maybe avatars are more realistic. Maybe it becomes more socially acceptable to meet as avatars. And I think that's all a time game. But right now, the most effective meetings are centered around some 3D object that you're collaborating on, working together on, or just viewing together.
That makes a ton of sense. I didn't even think of viewing our sunroom in VR. And I'm looking it up now, and it looks like there is a SketchUp viewer for VR. So maybe mm-hmm. I can try that out tonight and see what my new space is going to look like while we're waiting on our contractors to endlessly start it, what it seems. That's great. I mean, I can understand it's very early in VR, at least to figure out how this kind of collaboration's going to work. How do you feel that you talked a little bit about this before, where it's really important for individuals to be kind of physically present versus just video calls to be able to develop rapport and trust together. So how do you see in the future, like the future of work in the next 5 or 10 years of how people will be working with VR? Is it going to be something else? Is it going to be still be with video? What's your sense?
Yeah, no doubt. This is a tough question. So I think the future of work is distributed. I think companies need to figure out how to better manage distributed teams, because the honest truth is the most idealistic future, and the one I want to hope that we are striving for right now, is that people are not tied to one place because of their job. And I think that's a big deal in two different ways. So one, people don't have to move to some affluent city. When I'm thinking about the future of work, really what's core to the future of work, I strongly believe, and I hope is the future, is distributed teams, in that people don't have to be tied to one place for their job. And so the reason that's important is it's actually twofold. So you have rural workers right now who don't have access to high-paying jobs, which is really unfortunate. It's all dense in the city, and they cannot make the types of livings that people in, you know, let's say San Francisco make. Now, on the other end of that, the people in San Francisco also have to put half their paycheck towards paying towards their housing, which is absolutely unfortunate and ridiculous. Yeah.
Right.
which is terrible. So, you know, I'm someone who wants to live where I want to live for lifestyle, not for work. That's always been core to what I aspire to be in the future. And I'm hoping that in the future, everybody will be able to live where they want to live, be it San Francisco if they want to pay half their paycheck, or I don't know, maybe somewhere very cool like Costa Rica, but also have access to those high-paying jobs. And so the only way that's going to happen is if we have effective remote collaboration tools. And so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do that within, I strongly believe, virtual reality, augmented reality. That's going to be the sort of, that's going to replace video chat at some point or another. Now, ideally, we have some sort of holograms and we don't have to throw anything on our faces, but I do think that augmented reality will end up replacing the cell phone, so it won't really quite matter. And this is probably 20 years out, maybe even more. I think augmented reality has a lot to figure out, whether it be Microsoft working on the HoloLens or whether it be Magic Leap. They have a lot of technical hurdles in order to make a experience as compelling as our iPhones that are sitting on our desk right now in augmented reality. And so future of work is distributed, and it's utilizing those virtual reality, augmented reality tools in order to collaborate. That's what's going to happen. It's really exciting. I mean, I think WeWork within virtual reality will be very cool. And that's, you know, that's my prediction of it. And that's why I started virtual reality meeting space.
Totally. If people want to dabble into VR doing meetings now, portal spaces, presumably they could, maybe not in the original way you had talked about, but they can jump into rooms with other people, presumably?
No doubt. Yeah. Right now, we are going to move Portal Spaces from the subscription service into a one-time, we're still deciding the pricing, $5 to $10 probably. You can meet with people in virtual reality on, in the future, any VR headset. We're still working on cross-compatibility.
Nice. There's dog head simulations. There's VR chat. There's... And then you can get into like the rec room and all this stuff, presumably as well, to start exploring doing this with work.
No doubt. All great software. Yeah.
I think it'd be great if we did some meeting, had some meeting rooms in rec room. And then we just at the end of the day, went and played paintball together. I think that'd be super fun.
Yeah, no, it would be cool. Post meeting. Let's go play some paintball now. That would be fun. Right? It's the locker room after work. Yep.
It's the locker room. It's the golfing. It's the new golf.
Yeah.
It's paintball in rec room.
The clubhouse. Yeah.
Right. Kyle, thanks a lot for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Gemin. It's been great.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. From Kyle and myself, Gemin, we'll see you again soon on Building Remote Teams. Bye-bye.
Today's review comes from Broski02 Kowal. It's a long review, but the part I like the best is this podcast will help the confused CEO on how to build a remote team the right way. Bracket, yes, there is a wrong way. As a CEO, I've already learned a few tips and tricks on how to do it right. Well, that just warms my heart. Thank you very much for that review. As always, I really appreciate your reviews. You can hit it up on iTunes, which would help the most. And you can send me an email, Gemin@buildingremoteteams.com, if you've got any feedback for this show. Talk to you soon.